Hey, everybody, welcome to MacGyveCast, episode 109?
111.
Ah, shit, somewhere around there.
What's 139, this Harry's Will. So this is season 6, episode 7, aired 5th of November, 1990. So somewhere, secretly, Harry has died.
Yep.
And this is our first knowledge of it. The actor who played him, Harry Anderson, no relation to anyone.
Not Richard Dean, nor the other Harry Anderson in the show Dave's World.
Was not dead.
Okay.
But he died not too long after.
All right.
He's only, I guess he does have a bit on camera, so I don't know where they filmed that. But, so the summary
is. Your mom's pussy.
Harry's Will leaves a vintage station wagon to MacGyver's possession. Or leaves a vintage station wagon in MacGyver's possession.
Another old piece of shit car?
However, a bunch of crooks express great interest in finding the car, believing a priceless diamond pendant to be hidden inside. So if you have seen It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, that's what they're trying to do.
I prefer Rat Race.
Oh, that's a piece of shit.
I'm kidding. I've never sat through it. I've just it's a play on Mad, Mad, Mad World. And then also
Four Mads. Mad World.
Oh, Mad Max, motherfucker. They also did that a little bit of that in that episode with him and the old couple where the guy was swashbuckling with his cane in the back seat of the LeBaron. That was a little bit Mad, 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 Mad World.
Yeah, I don't think that was a LeBaron. That was like a, oh, it was a convertible.
Yeah, it was a convertible Chrysler of some kind. It was some square box.
I think
box
it was a big Cadillac.
Okay, it was a piece of shit. Anyway, they were doing that a little bit, but there wasn't enough participants in that one. But yeah, they've touched on this kind of before.
Yes. So we open on the shitty truck parked outside a quaint lawyer's office in an old house.
Yeah, well, we didn't talk about this. It's November 5th, 1990. How old are you?
Oh, I'm in grade 11? No, grade 12.
Wow.
I'm like 17.
All right, this is less
beginning
than a week.
Beginning of my senior year of high school.
Shit. Less than a week before my 7th birthday.
Okay. Yeah, that's... So, okay. So, what you're born in when?
November 10th, 83.
83. Okay. I never remember where you are in relation to my wife. You're 3 years younger. Okay. So, we open on the shitty truck, blah, blah, blah. It's Wilton Newbury, attorney at law. And hey, it's Fonzie. But yep. He's insane and won't talk. So, he's doing charades.
Yeah, he's wandering the office. Wherever could it be? He's doing his best Mad Hatter or that stupid rabbit.
Turns out he's a minute early, so bang at 7 a.m., as per instructions, he is now permitted to talk.
Yeah, it's because he's a lawyer, that's how things work, and they're really Jewy, and they like money.
But yes, but we're getting Jewish Fonzie.
Yeah, it's very is, because he's got the bigger chin, bigger body, the glasses, the fuller face, the longer hair.
And the bad dentures, yeah, or caps.
Yeah, he's kind of transitioning. He's like, okay, well, this is a chance. I produce this show. I'll guest star. It'll be a big episode.
He tries to get MacGyver's first name, but it is just MacGyver, and he hands over a codicil to the will.
Yep, and he's just still being a Jew.
Yes, there's a note, which there's a difference between what is written and what Harry reads in voiceover. But it's, "Dear Bud, if you're reading this note, I guess I'm pushing up daisies. At least I'm not paying taxes." He says, "Well, at least I'm not paying taxes. There's something very special that I want you to have. Pick it up at Mel's Storage at 1470 Van Owen before 10 a.m. today. Love, Harry." And he gives a different street address, or a different street. He says Minto or something starting with an M.
Yep.
Jewish Fonzie did not pry and has no further information, but there is a card in the envelope. The card reads... Yes, the card read, "Bud, keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel."
And it's the technology for the audio greeting card hadn't been invented yet, but I feel like somebody saw this and was like, all right, I might do this.
And then we flash back to black and white with Mac being taught to drive on Harry's lap. Okay, so it would have been really good if we had been able to record this last week with Abe Vigoda having just died.
I know, you teased it, and then I missed the episode because I had to work, because I had to make up a shift, they wouldn't give me the day off, and there was that crazy snowstorm, so I've been working every day since December, and I'm losing my mind.
Yes, so cue the recently departed Abe Vigoda getting out of the BC jail in Burnaby, used to be called Ocala, now it's a shitty subdivision.
Yeah, well, he it's weird. He did so many of these weird roles, especially in the late 80s, early 90s. Like, people forget he was in Look Who's Talking.
Oh, I wouldn't know that.
And he's super, he's super fat here.
He got used to being in Vancouver.
Did you notice how fat he is here?
No, I didn't think he's super fat.
For Abe Vigoda, he's usually much thinner. Even on the old Conan appearances after this, I feel like this is like a period where he maybe put on an extra 30 or 40.
Okay, well, he does a little dance on the steps, and then out comes Lyle Alzado, dressed like a prison cook, and yelling at him, because all prisoners are just allowed to run out the front door.
And wasn't Lyle Alzado the one who died of a brain tumor?
Yes, which he blamed on his steroids.
Yeah.
He's also playing it very, very gay.
Yeah, he is. They both have weird facial sores, too.
Yes. He thought he might have left his recipe book. He just wants to come close to being nearly as good a cook as Abe is, even though I can't remember what his name is. Cody? Something like that.
Yeah, so while he was in prison, the prisoner taught the prison chef, or the other prisoner, how to become a chef.
Yes. He gets taken back into jail. He's allowed to keep the recipe book.
I love it. He's like yelling, and the guards let him out to chase the guy down. Like, well, he is a free man, and you are a prisoner, but you did have something important to tell him, so we'll just follow you outside this gate.
Yes, with our 4-foot-long billy clubs.
Yeah, and you're about 2 feet taller than both of us. You can probably pick both of us up, but we got these cop mustaches.
Yes, and outside the prison are Dick Butkus, dressed as a biker, riding bitch to Wendy O. Williams, who was a punk star, on a tricycle motorcycle.
This is a fucking episode full of fucking cameos.
They start to follow, and then somewhere down the road, a black Pontiac Transport minivan is also watching them depart and starts to follow.
Yeah, with really funky, weird, non-MacGyver music.
Yes, they're playing odd music all the time.
Everybody's got their own cue.
Yes, so they turn north on Royal Oak, heading towards a large cemetery towards Canada Way.
Oh.
For all those interested. Meanwhile, at Mel's Auto Storage, because was that ever a thing?
Mm-hmm.
I should probably know the guy. And yes, it's the old Maytag repairman.
Oh, yeah.
From before Gordon Jump from, what was he on? WKRP.
What's the other guy that, he's like a Washington mainly guy. He had washers and dryers, and he won't be undersold.
I don't remember.
I won't be undersold. And he had like a wife and like a wrestler.
I don't remember those.
Well, he won't be undersold, dude.
Okay. Okay. This is all very well. This is all apparently very well timed out. It involved a trailer, a slot to take to the mechanics, and a card. The card reads, "Our larcenous friend slipped out of the noose. Take him to Robin. The chicken's a wild goose."
Yeah.
Yes. So, cut from the car being uncovered to Abe showing up at Mel's, the storage place, wanting to know where the car is.
Mm-hmm. And he's talking to the Maytag guy. He has a cab waiting out front.
Yes. He says it's at Speedy's garage. And then Butkus comes in. Wendy decides to start following Abe in the taxi cab after he runs out, and the Pontiac minivan close on their tail. So we cut, Speedy is sleeping, and it's Scotty from Star Trek, who's also a Canadian.
James Doohan? Doohan?
Yes. Mac is working on the car. It's a Chevy Nomad. I wanted to say it was like a 56, blue and white, powder blue and white. Abe goes over and then fondles the car. MacGyver comes around and wonders why. He says his name is Cody, just got out of the slammer after 17 years, and they vaguely remember each other.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Harry, it turns out, was the only one who visited him. He wants to know if Mac found anything unusual in the car, but is very nonspecific about it. He says he isn't up to anything.
Any dildos or any dentures, any old man stuff?
Yes. Butkus now shows up outside, and he says, oh, he's looking for a 57 Nomad. So there it is. And he's back on the trike with Wendy O. Williams.
Yep. Titties blasting.
And, skin-tight jeans, backless top, and leather chaps.
It proves why she didn't get very many acting roles.
Yes. He is not a gifted actress.
And dude almost goes flying off the back of the trike.
That was earlier.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was fucking crazy.
Yes. Wendy and Dick make their entrance on orders. Butkus headbutts Abe. Mac is then walking back to the garage because Abe Vigoda sent him out for a, because he stole the radiator cap off, so he had to go to the auto parts store. And this is when Abe kind of searched the car to try to find something, didn't find it. He gets headbutted, and then they all get put, or no, okay, and then they almost run over MacGyver with the Nomad when he's coming back with his radiator cap.
Yep. And the dude who's a scumbag dude with Wendy Williams, he's been playing
Dick
that same
Butkus.
Role. Yeah, it's Dick Butkus. He's been playing the same role for like 30 years.
What Every was he, time L.A. Raider?
Yeah, he was a football player, but he was in something else where he played a similar kind of scuzzy role like this. I feel like every time he's in something, he plays like the hard-nosed guy. I don't know, I'm not biker per se, but just kind of like the same.
Well,
he's a criminal.
He was also one part of the ground crew in Blue Thunder, the TV series.
Okay, yep, that's probably something of as well.
And and Scotty wakes up only after he drops his donut into his coffee cup. Oh, and I missed a mysterious voice on the phone call. God, I have missed a couple of things here. Sorry, I have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty keeps sleeping, and then, Black Cop from Police Academy is there talking to Mac.
Yeah, high-pitched
Another
voice.
Very weird, yes, black female cop.
Very weird cameo.
There's a note that
reads... Is that other cop just, like, covering his face, pretending he's also one of the guys from Police Academy, pretending to write?
Yeah, maybe pretending he's Tackleberry?
Yeah, it feels a little bit like it, yeah.
The note reads, take your best friend's counsel. This is the note that... Abe has take your best friend's counsel and then talk to the bird, go to the habit over on third, which is really just makes no sense. A mysterious voice calls him on the telephone and says the location of the Nomad, it's at some warehouse wherever, and to bring Cody, he's key, bring no cops.
That sounds pretty up
this
and up.
This is when Scotty wakes up only after dropping his donut into his coffee. Because, yeah. So, inside the warehouse, Wendy and Dick are ripping apart the inside of the car. So, realize that, and then think of what takes place later in the episode, and that will not make any sense. Mac, quote, picks the lock by ramming his Swiss Army knife all into it and jockeying it around. And I really like how Wendy and Dick drove the Nomad all the way into the middle of the building, but the tricycle motorcycle is parked just out in front of a door.
Well, I don't want to leave no mysteries.
Which they would have had to have backed in.
They're just making it so obvious, like, we're here.
Yes. But it just, the car would be, they'd be close together. They wouldn't be far apart, is what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Wendy is upset. Sorry, I'm messing up again. So Mac and Abe are crouched in behind. He gets Abe to go call for 911, but he decides to quietly open the large sliding door and then for some reason goes over to the motorcycle trike and starts it.
I feel like this is the most like recon work you ever see old man Vigoda doing in all his movie roles.
I don't know what his plan would have been, but because it's, of course, well gassed and parked in gear, it starts up and tears off and drives through the closed door. So he opened the door partway, but not in front of the actual motorcycle. And then it runs over his foot, which just...
The staging in this episode is really fucking strange.
Yes. Wendy is now very upset, yells, "Freeze, dudes!" Yes. And then fires her comically large revolver up in the air.
Her acting is so horrible.
And this is where I want to point out she is no actor.
Freeze, dudes.
And where I should insert a tasteless joke about how she chose to shoot herself to death.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Yes. So
you're so glad nobody listens to this show.
Yes. Anyways, Mac and Abe are held at gunpoint.
I just like the idea that Abe Vigoda started a trike. That's probably the first time and only time in his life he ever started a trike.
Yes. Cut to them trapped in a mechanic's pit under a car with a car being lowered down on top of them. Butkus and Wendy want the diamond pendant. Butkus heard about it in jail because he was in the cell next door and Abe talked in his sleep.
This is one of the worst episodes I've ever done.
Yes. Abe fesses up about the note and it being about it being moved and not being there. Wendy has to read it because Butkus can't read.
Something accurate.
Yes. Apparently, there's a chicken joint called The Habit on 3rd, because that makes so much fucking sense.
Dick Butkus ended up playing the coach on Hang Time, right?
I have no idea.
I believe he did. That was that NBC show, Hang Time.
That's not a show I've ever watched.
It was basically Saved by the Bell, but a basketball team at high school. It aired on NBC afternoons, late 90s, early 2000s.
And The Habit is a chicken, has a big chicken that you order through.
Okay.
So, apparently, Abe was hired by the owner of the jewelry store to rob it. The pendant was his payment. But because he never talked and the insurance company went bankrupt, this means that no one ever got paid out, and that the pendant is finders keepers.
Oh, that's fair then. So he's not a bad
guy.
No.
It means he was paid to commit insurance fraud.
All right.
So that's a crime. The insurance company went bankrupt, so they never made a payment out. So that means it's actually the owner's.
Oh, yeah, it's still the owner's property.
Yes, it's still so. It's always still someone's property. So nope.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to maybe play it as he's like a, not like an evil crook. He's more of a heart of gold, and he didn't flat out rob somebody. He was hired to rob them by the owner.
I know, except he did.
Yeah.
Mac gets an inner tube. They used to be a thing. And then puts it under the frame of the car and gets an air hose to start pumping it up, making it basically an air.
What are you, like bulletproof tires in Canada? Pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This could have worked, but they would have needed some boards.
What's great is there's a part where he's talking, MacGyver's talking into the mechanics bay, and his voice echoes back. So clearly they didn't, like, hey, Richard, tilt your head up, you fucking idiot.
Okay, didn't notice.
Yeah.
Abe gets out first, and then Mac follows, but the hose gets stuck and is blowing in and is permanently blowing up. So Mac gets out just before the inner tube explodes.
But Abe and Go gives this really weird look like, should I kill this guy? He gives him like two of them. They cut away his face, but he's like, eh.
Yes. And they are not going to the chicken shack because Mac has a note of his own and a radiator cap. Just like the one that Abe should happen to pull out of his pocket. So he did steal it to delay MacGyver.
Of course.
So the place called the Chicken Habit. That's a restaurant I drive by, you know, 5, 6, 7, 20 times a week.
Do you have an eating problem, dude?
No, it just happens to be located very close on a very major thoroughfare of Edmonds near, what is that, Canada Way.
What's your mom's maiden name?
It was also in, oh, good Lord. What was the first big Andy Samberg movie where he's playing
Hot Rod?
A guy who does stunts? Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm.
It was in Hot Rod as well.
Okay.
Anyways.
I feel like I've probably seen it. Maybe it's like an Are We There Yet?
It's been in a bunch of things.
There was also that Jay Moore movie, King's Ransom, where he played like a mascot.
I felt
like
it was
shot
there. Unsympathetic addition put onto it, so it doesn't.
Who's
quite
the old
look
pedophile
the anymore?
From the Burbs.
The old pedophile from the Burbs.
Yeah, the old guy pulls up to the checkout window. And he's got a bunch of kids in the car. They're saying, "Shut up, Dad!" But he's like 70.
Oh, well, he was the head Nazi from Blues Brothers, and he was on Laugh-In.
Okay.
So yes. So as I say, up pulls the Nazi from Blues Brothers, also from Laugh-In.
Okay.
He talks into the chicken.
Yeah.
He has a car full of kids that he screams at.
And then he kidnapped.
No, then, I don't know. Then Dick and Wendy walk up and smash the chicken with shovels. Yeah. Mac takes Abe to visit Sister Robin, who's played by Mrs. Cunningham, Marion Ross. So obviously she needed some insurance.
Yeah, she needed her SAG insurance to be re-upped. She's looking very svelte, though, and she's looking for a nun.
That's because she was surprisingly young when she was playing Mrs. Cunningham.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think she was that old. I figured she was in her 40s or 50s, right?
Yeah, I think she was in her early 30s.
Wow.
Maybe. I don't know, because she's been around for a hell of a long time.
Fat don't crack?
So she's a nun that runs a shelter, a place that cooks
a sexy
food.
Fucking nun.
So, meanwhile, Dick and Wendy have completely destroyed the chicken. They say to the woman on the microphone who asks what they're doing that they're replacing it with a duck. They find nothing. And then someone, I'm guessing the guy from the Pontiac minivan, says, try Sister Robin's kitchen up the street. And he is inside the chicken shack with his gloved hand over the mouth of the little service clerk. Poor clerk.
Yeah, that creepy rapist move. And then he's also got his other gloved hand hitting an intercom.
Yes, which is very strange.
It's so weird. Who directed this one? Did he do any other MacGyvers?
I looked, but I didn't pay attention. Mac and Mrs. C are amazed by Abe's cooking. So a package is now turned over, which was one of the conditions. A note reads, "Bud, I teach Cody myself, except that I died. Your lesson at center," and another card that says, "Four notes, side by side."
Whoa.
So Butkus then comes in and says for everyone to freeze, holding up two finger guns. Before Wendy O'William walks in and then, quote, acts with her very big gun.
Freeze, dudes!
Yes. He takes the pin from Cody. Mac says later, after they've left, that the pendant was a piece of costume jewelry. He could see the scratch across the face of the diamond, I call bullshit.
Was the nun called Sister Ross?
No, Marion Ross, Sister Robin.
Okay.
Four notes side by side is the key. Then Harry farts from heaven and knocks a card onto the ground, where for the first time you notice there's basically a quarter of a hockey rink drawn on it.
Yeah.
So Mac puts all the cards
together.
There's
a pencil hole through it. Or no, it's like a hockey puck. What is it? Is that what it's supposed to be?
Center ice.
Yeah.
So Mac finally twigs. Then we cut to Carisdale Arena, a.k.a. Cyclone
Taylor
Arena. Oh, he
says hockey puck. It's supposed to be hockey puck.
Well, no, it's center ice.
Oh, I think so. Okay.
That's where you do the face-off center ice. There's always a little thing there. I spent a lot of time at Carisdale Arena. It's where the Vancouver Barrage used to play out.
Yeah, I feel like you have hockey privilege. How dare you?
This was lacrosse privilege.
All right. And they get there, the Cyclone Taylor Arena rink is closed.
Yes, well, we all call it Carisdale Arena. Cycle and Taylor just got named after him.
All right. So is it always called something else before because of the town it's in, and then they just named it after them? Or
well,
they...
Carisdale is the area it's called. Cycle and Taylor was a famed hockey player with the early Canucks, or no, before the Canucks, like old-timey times. And then
did he make cyclones that the other players had a battle against?
No.
That's not very appropriate.
But he was a very good player.
All
right. Yes, and the sign says rink closed.
And then we go to a flashback of an old man pulling up to the rink with a little boy on his lap.
Yes. His gear is in the back. And today...
That's what he said.
And of course, today, his gear is in the back. So nice that Wendy and Dick didn't, you know, rummage and throw it out while searching the car.
And they're like, what is this stuff? Some little boy's hockey memories? Leave it here.
Yeah. This is where I actually thought that Fonzie was the bad guy.
Oh, really?
Yes, or that his father owned the jewelry store or something.
Oh, interesting. So he thought there was some sort of historic tie.
Yes. So on the arena, Mac skates out onto the ice, and Mac flashes back to his, quote, lesson at center ice at the Pee Wee State Hockey Finals.
During
Short
period
story
four.
Is, he tripped someone in overtime and then broke away and scored the winning goal. In double overtime, the score of 1-0. And
it's a long-ass flashback. It's like a good 4 minutes.
Yes. He skates over to Harry, who says he's no winner. He tripped that guy. So Mac goes and confesses to the referee, who waves off the goal.
Oh.
Which would not have ever fucking happened.
Yeah, I don't think that's how hockey works. It's like, too bad, man. We already ruled.
So this should just... And then what? Did they still win? Did they win again? I mean, it's not like it's game over. We're giving a goal to the other side. No, someone's getting a 2-minute penalty.
All right, man, it's on you. Tie game.
Yes. So we now enter with Dick and Wendy threatening the Penguin at gunpoint.
Yeah, there's also MacGyver center ice digging with his knife, and then Abe Vigoda sneaks up behind
him.
Oh,
sorry. Right. He digs it out of center ice. Mac chips it out with his knife.
I don't even know. Is he even using a Swiss Army knife, or is he using a folding knife? Oh,
it's Swiss
Army.
That was a Swiss Army knife.
All right, so that's a MacGyver, is my guess, stabbing ice randomly.
Yes, and Mac says the people at the soup kitchen need him. Sister Robin is losing her lease after all. Because, yeah, they couldn't have mentioned that before. And then there's the pendant. So then Dick and Wendy threatening the Penguin at gunpoint.
That's not very deep.
In.
I mean, that ice, come on, they've had to refinish the ice a few times. That had to have come up.
Well, I'll talk about this later. Trust me.
All right, because they don't just keep ice for 30 years. You put new ice in every couple, right? Or every season?
And yes, so oh, they demand the pendant, so Mac shoots it between Wendy's legs, which causes her to fall over and drop the gun. Mac then slaps the gun away when he's skating past.
The weirdest frame of all time is Dick Butkus next to Marion Ross dressed as a nun. He's a biker, and Wendy O. Williams is holding a gun at Marion Ross.
Then, somehow, the nun is 30 feet away from them and falls and can't and misses it. Mac goes into the corner and then skates past the net, which Dick Butkus slams into him. It keeps going around.
Come on, Sister Robin, don't you got any skates?
Yes. So it almost gets picked. Then Abe Vigoda picks it up. Dick Butkus comes over and starts kind of cross-checking him.
It goes across the rink. Wendell Williams goes for it. And then fucking Mrs. Ross comes running
up. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Wendy picks it up but is boarded by the nun.
Yeah, she comes with a tongue out of her mouth and that thing. Like people are making effort. And it's the saddest shot ever.
Slowly run for it. Dick clotheslines MacGyver.
It's so cool.
Abe gets it, then is assaulted by Dick, who manages to punch the glass.
This is actually inspired. This is like the best part of the episode.
So the pendant ends up at the feet of the man who was tracking them from the black van. He's now in the middle of the ice. Uh-huh. God, what the fuck did I write? To step in the end and annex his... Okay, he comes in and is talking very strangely in a German accent about annexing his just desserts.
Yeah.
Turns out he's the jewelry store owner, but he wasn't German. Then you find out it's Rich Little doing all of his shitty voices. And surprisingly, Rich Little is still alive and also Canadian, which I did not know.
And somehow old enough, if he is being the jewelry store owner, is he really the jewelry store owner or is he just playing the jewelry store owner? Because if he really is a guy, how's he old enough to have made Vigoda go into jail to do that? It's like,
he's born in 1938.
I'll try this 15-year-old kid telling me about a jewelry heist.
So he would have been 40, 20, like in the 20-year-ago time, he would have been like 30, 40.
Okay,
so,
and Vigoda would have been like 50, 60.
Yes. So many shitty voices later.
I know,
Mac
he's not even inspired. It feels like, it's like, are you really bored doing this, man?
So many shitty voices later, Mac asks to see the pendant, and he gives it over. Then many more shitty voices are used, and Mac then asks for the gun. They realize something is just a little off, and he gives him the gun. And then we cut to commercials. Because he's gone a little strange, and he's a little crazy. No explanation of why he does voices.
Nope.
Just Rich Little. Why the fuck not?
We saw the Roger Rabbit trailer.
Yes, so we cut to a rowdy bunch of the homeless yelling for Cody at the soup kitchen since they heard he was going to start cooking today. Mac is sure he's just late, depositing the check for the lease after all. And then Abe comes in dressed in full resort wear with a suitcase and a hat. He was going to the airport, but he heard Harry through the cab's radio. And then end of episode.
Yeah, he's never looked like such an old man in this. It's weird. He lived for another 30 years?
Yes. Wow. So I really have to say this might be the worst episode ever.
Yeah, it's up there.
It tried to be It's a Mad, 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 Mad World and got lots of fading stars, another year of SAG insurance.
Yeah, it's not even like a who's who of TV or anything. It's like, all right, Dick Butkus, what? And the Wendy O. Williams, huh?
Lyle Alzado.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He needs health insurance, too. He's dying.
So what I was going to say is every arena takes out the ice at least 3 times a year.
Okay.
Especially that arena takes its ice out for summer because they used to play lacrosse in it. And at this time, they're playing lacrosse in it.
All right.
So that ice would have maybe gone in early September.
Okay.
So... 3 months later, so Harry knew he was dying and knew he was going to die in the next 3 months, but no longer than 9 months.
That's a really precise window. And then also counting on everybody finding it the exact time he laid out. This even has me bored talking about this. It's really horrible.
I know. And so the lesson we learned, nothing. I learned nothing.
So is there 18 left?
139.
Or is there 28 left? There's 28 left. Oh, shit. Kill me. So there's 28 left, week, two movies, and then some other bullshit. So we got like 30-plus weeks left. We got at least another half year of this bullshit.
Next week, a fucking Old West Dream episode.
Again?
Yes.
And wait, is this another dream episode, quote-unquote, or is this a fucking time travel episode? Because the last one, he brought back an old-timey Swiss Army knife, implying he not only
changed... magical dream episode.
Yeah.
Well, Who knows? That remains to be seen.
Well, that's not a dream. If you bring back a 1700 Swiss Army knife...
It's a magical dream.
That doesn't even exist in the timeline. Then you're changing history because now you're the inventor of the Swiss Army knife.
It's a magical dream, Gio.
Fuck you, dude.
So... that's the episode.
Bah, bah, bah.